Let's pray. Father, there's so much we can learn through your servant Elijah. We pray now, Father, as we look into this word, that we'll find those gems of truth that we can take away. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome back to our series on Elijah, except that we are not reading in the book of 1 Kings tonight. The series on the Word of God to a dying church. We were given hope at the beginning of this series when we learned that a dying church has a future. That God can raise even a dead church if we put our trust in God's Word. We learned in later weeks that God chases after us in spite of who we are and reveals himself through his word to bring us back to him. And so we have no need to despair because we can cling to God's faithful word. And then we learned that we cannot underestimate our God. We shouldn't. Because as we've seen so far, God plus one is more powerful than 450 prophets of Baal. God plus one is more powerful than 32 kingdoms. God plus one is able to raise the dead and a dying church. At the center of all the hope for God's people, his church, is God's word to all who will heed his call, all those who will hear. And there's always a remnant who God preserves to speak, thus saith the Lord, especially when the church seems silent. It is God's word to a dying church. Tonight I want us to see how we can avail ourselves as emissaries of God, as ambassadors of Christ, by taking encouragement from Elijah's prayer life. Let us be clear in understanding that God uses Elijah because he chose him. And God is still in the choosing business today. Each of us who positively respond to the message of salvation are indeed his chosen. But is it enough just to be chosen? You know, sometimes we think we're chosen that we can just sit back and wait until Jesus returns or until I go to meet him, whichever comes first. No, it is not enough. We are commanded to go with the message of hope, the gospel. We are commanded to go to the perishing world, to the dying church, to bring it back through his word. And in Romans 10 we read, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on the one in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." It is not enough just to be chosen. We must be available to be used by God. And that requires prayer-filled living. So that leads me to some questions. Do we have a prayer life? And what is our prayer life like? I'm going to assume your response is like mine. Yes, I have a prayer life, but my prayer life is not what it should be because, you see, you can fill in the blanks there. For some people, like myself, we may find that we don't have time for prayer, or so we think. We're too busy. Or it probably is not just important enough because we don't see the power of prayer in our lives. We can't get the results that Elijah gets. And so, what's the point? I'll just do it when I feel like. I'll do it because it's a ritual, because I know I should pray. And as believers, we all pray. We can't escape it. We even have meetings to pray. But is our attitude to prayer out of servitude or gratitude? Is it out of work or grace? Tim Sullivan, a pastor, made this comment about prayer. I do not believe in prayer, he says. And he follows that by saying, I hope that statement shocks you. But I also hope you will see my point, he says. No, I don't believe in prayer. I believe in God. And that is why I pray. I don't believe in reading the Bible, he says. I believe in God. And that is why I read his word. My faith is in him and not in rituals. And so it is with Elijah. Because his faith is in God, he prays. He prays knowing that he can trust God, and he prays convinced that God will answer prayer. How can our prayer life be like Elijah's? Why doesn't it feel that way? Well, I believe that our prayer life is not like Elijah's because our walk with God is not as close as it should be. We may give the appearance of walking closely with him by doing godly stuff, doing the things that are right. But this doesn't merit a favorable response from him. Are we trusting in our works or his grace, his sufficiency, and his favor? How can my prayer life or our prayer lives be like Elijah's? I'll give you 2 points. One, trust God in all circumstances. Trust God in all circumstances. James says when we are in trouble, we are to pray. When we are happy, pray. When we are sick, pray. The result of such a posture to prayer is forgiveness, he says. Notice in verse 15, we will be forgiven and if sick, may be healed. The two words there, will and may. You will be forgiven. You may be healed. The healing is secondary to God's forgiveness because forgiveness leads to salvation. Look at verses 19 to 20. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Ephesians 1 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance to his riches of God's grace. Elijah's trust in God in the most difficult circumstances is well noted. He trusted God with his life and was sheltered in the enemy's territory. He trusted God for provision, and God supplied it through the poverty of a widow and through ravens. He trusted God to redeem his people, and God answered with fire. He trusted God to be merciful to those who do not yet know him, and God raised a dead boy back to life. I hope we're getting the picture here. To have a prayer life like Elijah's, you must trust God in all circumstances. One songwriter puts it this way, I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arms around me thrown. Then my soul will fear no ill. Let him lead me where he will, and I will go without a murmur, and his footsteps follow still. You see, in those dark times when you're praying, and you think God is not there, his footsteps follow still. Number two, We can have a prayer life like Elijah's because, like Elijah, we too can walk close to God. James makes a point of this in verse 17. He says, Elijah was a man even as we are. The verse 16 before picks up one characteristic of Elijah's humanness. He was a righteous man, and the prayer of such a man is powerful and effective. Such righteousness perceived should not be confused with us counted as righteous in Christ. Here the context is about a relationship with God. The righteous man here is a man that is godly, doing the right things because of his love for God. Not because it pleases himself, but rather because it pleases God. He is walking closely with God. This is Elijah, and this can be us too. Verse 17, Elijah was a man, even as we are. When we walk close to God, we understand his nature. We gain wider knowledge and deeper understanding of him. Through his word to us, he tells us about himself. And in it, we find why we love him and why we want to draw close to him. How did Elijah know that? How did he know what to pray for? He got it from God's word. When Elijah prayed for rain, where did he get this idea from? Look at Deuteronomy 11. Take care lest your heart, it says, be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain and the land will yield no fruit and you will perish quickly of the land the Lord is giving you. See how Elijah turns that promise into a prayer in 1 Kings 8 where he says, if the skies are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you. This is Elijah's prayer now. And if they pray towards this temple and acknowledge your name and turn from their sins because you have punished them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them to follow the right path and send rain on your land that you have given to your people as their personal possession. When Elijah prayed for fire, where he knew this to be true, just read Leviticus. Fire came before the Lord and consumed burnt offering and the portion of fat on the altar. When they all saw it, the people shouted and fell on their faces. You see, Elijah knew God's ways well. He knew his word by walking close to him. My final point about us capable of having a prayer life like Elijah is really an outspurt of my two earlier points. Trust God and walk close to him. If we do this, then our prayers should be earnest. Our prayers should be earnest. This is evidenced by sincerity and persistence in Elijah's prayer life. Elijah prays for famine. He prays for fire to come down on the altar. He prays for rain. And note that when he prayed for rain, it didn't just rain. He prayed seven times. Seven times the skies were checked. When we pray, we might not get the answer we want, and we might not get it when we want it. And at times, this may seem difficult for us to understand or to take. We always think we know what is best for us, and we actually don't. God knows what's best for us. And we would know that if we walked closer to him. We'd believe that if we trusted him. God does answer prayers, but not always as quickly as we think. Let us then, from this day, in this gathering, promise to trust God in all our circumstances and discipline ourselves to walk with him daily. And lastly, earnestly seek his face. This is the word. to a dying church.